Anybody like getting beat up on? We'll have an altar call for you now if you do. That's just weird. I'm just saying. You know, but when you look at the whole climate around this particular sermon, what you see is Jesus is talking about being underneath a Roman-dominated culture, and they were very brutal and aggressive and oppressive, and he's saying, hey, if you want to live for Jesus, if you want to live for Christ, you have to be opposite-spirited. You cannot live in this world. Help me, church. Can you live in our current climate without being led by God? Help me out. I mean, come on. We have all kinds of pressures, from morality to immigration. There's just so much hitting our culture, and we've got to learn how to navigate that stuff and not lose our heart for God. Because this is the thing, and I hope you catch this in this. We're called to live by faith, church. We're called to see Jesus in the midst of trouble. We're called to see his possibility when it seems like things are dismal or dark. Am I talking to anybody right now? See, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be light in darkness, to be salt and light. We're called to be witnesses. And if we don't understand that that's our role, a lot of times we can go through this whole journey, not have any impact on anybody for Christ, not to mention that our own lives end up being really difficult in a struggle. So far, we've gone through that Jesus started this way, that you're blessed if you live through these sorts of things. Watch. You're blessed if you understand this, that it's good to be poor in spirit. In other words, it's good to declare your need for God. We covered that several weeks ago. Also, it's good to mourn, because when you mourn, you're comforted. And the mourning that Jesus is talking about was this sense that God needs to break forth. How many of you guys think that God needs to break forth right now? Okay, that was like five of you. The rest of you are like, yeah, I'm really tired, Pastor. And the truth is this, we need God to resurge in our community, doesn't he? But you understand this, that as he does that through you and me and you. He does it through individuals before he does it through people. So sometimes it's us taking an honest inward look. It's us taking an honest assessment of where we're at with God. And then he said this, if you want to be blessed, be meek or be low or humble. And that's a struggle for all of us. We all want our way. We all want our right. We all want to be noticed. And God says this, be humble. And then he said this, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. And that means that our lifestyle should be such that we're looking for the right thing that honors God all the time. Okay, I know. Anytime preachers preach, you know we always preach to the all the time? You should always be honoring God. Help me, church. Don't I always say you should always be honoring God? Do you know that none of us always honor God? We don't. We come up short. But the reality is this. He's saying your attitude of heart should be such that all of your life honors me. That's what he's saying. And if you live that way, you'll be blessed. Now, I've had seasons in my life where I've made mistakes. Anybody else ever made mistakes? I made some this morning even. We all make mistakes, right? You make mistakes. And God says this, but if you constantly live for me, you constantly put me first, I'll bless you. And I'll take you out of the struggle and into a path that's right and straight. And then he said this. He said, blessed are the merciful. You know that when you're merciful to others, that God gives you what? Mercy. It's a pattern. It's a cycle. When we're forgiving, we're forgiven. When we're graceful, he's gracious to us. When we're merciful, he's merciful to us. And then he says this, in the pure in heart, those who have a heart that's not polluted by all of the world and all the stuff, they see God. Now watch, this is maybe a Jamesism for how to say this. Can you see God in your daily circumstances? And if you have a hard time seeing him, listen, I'm not trying to rip on you. I'm just saying, maybe the filter's a little clogged. Maybe you've let a little bit too much of life define God for you instead of, watch, living in faith and letting God's promises and truth define your circumstances. Because I don't know about you, every single day I face things that I'm not capable of taking care of. Am I talking to anybody right now? And when I lean into God, he gives me wisdom I don't have. He gives me strength I don't have. Sometimes he gives me money I don't have. Sometimes he gives me patience that I definitely don't have. You know what I'm saying? And he calms me into this place of living for him. Now, those were the ones that we covered just coming up. See, all of these are driven by opposite spirit. It's not a normal human response to do any of what I just mentioned. The normal spiritual response is all of those things. So now we're going to jump into peace. And in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 5, he says this. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, when he's talking about a peacemaker, it's a really cool word, actually. It's a compound word in the Greek, and it means this. First, it just means simply peace. How many of you guys ever met anybody named Irene? Guys, ever met anybody named Irene? Means peace in Greek. That's what the word is. It means to be at peace, settled in. And then the other word is to craft. It means this, that as Christians, we should be those who are able to craft peace. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm not very good at crafting peace. And I don't know many Christians who are, frankly. Like when I read this, it was frankly just super convicting. I just read it, I thought, man, I'm tired of teaching this. I feel like a lousy Christian every week. I really do. Because I look at it and I think, man, we're supposed to be the front end of bringing peace into circumstances, the front end of bringing peace into marriages and relationships. And often we're in as much turmoil as anybody I've ever met. I'm going to tell you why I think that in a few minutes, but not quite yet. You got to hang in there. So peace is this kind of sense of being able to craft circumstances into settling them down instead of making them worse. He said, if you're that type of a person, you're going to be a blessed person, somebody who lives in a sense of happiness. You know, so in my opinion, we're not good at this. You know why we're not good at this? Because simply, as Christians, we don't practice the scriptures. Watch, I'm going to give you just one illustration. I could give you lots of illustrations, but one of them is this. How many of you have been offended with somebody? Mad at them? A little mad at them? My hand's up too, by the way. I'm not just raising it to get you to raise your hand. And how many of you guys did what it says in Matthew 18? If you have a problem with somebody, you go back and you talk to them. And if they don't listen, then you get somebody else, you go talk to them some more to try to fix it. You know what we do? It'll fix itself. Oh, there they are in the store. They're in the aisle. Go down the other way so that I don't have... Come on, I've done all of this. You know, or you see them at a party because you have common friends and you're like... you know, because you don't know how to act. Watch, because we didn't practice what? The scriptures. We didn't do what God has asked us to do. So often, we're not people who are peacemakers because we don't even make peace with those that we're closest to. Listen, I was joking in our small group on Wednesday night. We're sitting there, and I said this to the group. I said, you know, if I offend you, come talk to me. And I go, listen, there's like several of you in this circle that I've offended before. And John looks at me and goes, I know. You gotta quit it. You know, we started laughing together. And I said, don't worry, it's just a matter of time before I do. And they all looked at me like, no. And I said, oh, no, yeah. I'm human in the middle of all of this thing. I'm probably going to do something that offends you. All I was saying is this, that I understand that I do that sometimes. But when you do, we are called to make amends. See, and in my opinion, and I think my opinion carries a little weight because I'm a spiritual leader and I see lots of situations, get invited into lots of stuff. So I'm not trying to say listen to me because I think the scriptures prove this to be true. In my opinion, we struggle with this more than anything else because we simply don't practice the scriptures. If you want to be somebody who lives in peace, you have to decide you're going to honor what God says is the plan, what God says is the purpose. So here's some scriptures about peace. Here's some scriptures. Well, first some thoughts and then some scriptures. So peace is like this. It's inward. We can be at peace inwardly. How about outwardly? We can be calm. We don't have to be like high strung. Peace builds relationships between people. Peace is the opposite of disturbance. Peace is the absence of hostile feelings. So now some scriptures. How about this? God is not the author of confusion, but the author of what? Peace. So listen, when you're in a season where you can't see God in the middle of it and you're confused, that's not from who? God, because God's not the author of what? Confusion. See, peace is it'll bring a settling. It won't make it crazier. How about Christ has made peace for us between us and the Father? You guys know that that's true. Watch what it says in Ephesians 2:14. I'm going to read 18 with it. It says, for he himself is our peace. Speaking of Jesus, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So Jesus himself is our what? Our peace. Okay, this is just the Bible study portion. Hang in there with me. Christ is also noted as this. He's the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of what? Peace. And then it says, of his government or of his peace, and on the throne of David he'll be established. Goes on to speak of that. Jesus also does this. He shows us the way. How many of you guys would like God to show you the way? Help me out. Come on. Don't all of us, if we're Christians in the room, don't we want God to order our steps? Hello? Don't we want that? Watch, this is what Jesus says. He says, to shine upon those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of what? Peace. I don't know about you, but I like it when God, yeah, how many guys ever walked into a situation and you're loaded for bear, like you're ready to throw down? They say this, I'm going to say that. And if they argue this, I'm going to argue that. Instead of walking in and just listening. Just listening, like what's really going on? How, like building the bridge instead of tearing it down. You guys hear me? How many of you have won arguments and lost relationships? Come on, everybody in the room has done this. Because God says, I've called you to be somebody who lives in peace, somebody who's a peacemaker. And Jesus said that I'll lead you, I'll order your feet in the way of peace. God, the Bible's also called us to be at peace with one another. This is 1 Corinthians 7:15. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. He says, the brother or the sister is not under bondage in such cases. Speaking of marriage, he says this, but God has called us to what? Peace. So we're always supposed to be people who are living with in peace with one another. Peace is also this. It's an inward joy and peace, and that comes through faith and believing. How many of you guys know that faith and believing and peace are all intertwined? In other words, let me say it this way. You can't have peace unless you trust God. You've got to trust him. You've got to trust him to work out the crazy stuff. How many of you have been married for any period of time? He's crazy, isn't he, ladies? Come on, help me out. She's crazy, isn't she, guys? Don't you need Jesus to help you figure that out? So you guys are like, no, she's sitting next to me, Pastor. I love her. She's so cute. Oh, hi, honey. And in your head, you're thinking, oh, God, help me. Okay, come on, tell the truth. Because that's the real of relationships. Sometimes they're easy and sometimes they're what? They're hard. They're not. This is what it says in Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy. That's a sense of assurance in God. And peace in believing by faith. He says, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't do Christianity without a deposit of God in you, without a sense of putting your trust and your faith in him. You can't do it. Listen, I've tried myself and I've watched other people try. They try really hard. They get what? Nowhere. Because if it's a walk of faith. It's not designed to be something that you get through just by manning up or pressing in. See, peace is not this. It's not the absence of war. It's the presence of a person, and his name is what? Jesus. He's a presence. He's a person. He's the Prince of Peace. So I was reading this morning, just, you know, like studying, reading, and I was just clicking through some things, and I actually posted on Facebook because I thought it was kind of clever. Like, you guys know that it's important that we pray. How many of you guys think it's important to pray? Okay, yeah, that's good. Hey, man, church, I'm proud of you. Most of you guys actually raise your hand. Some of you are like, I'm not raising my hand. Listen, prayer is important. I put this on Facebook this morning. If you pray when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. See, listen, our lifestyle should be such that we're praying into situations before they're problems, so that we have the right attitude of heart when we get into the situations. Like, I've noticed this. When I start my day with Christ, Christ is in my day. Hello? I face situations and I find myself a little slower. I find myself a little more patient. Find myself a little more thoughtful. I find myself tempered by the Holy Spirit because I placed myself in his hands. I have a sense of peace as I'm going through the day regardless of what's happening. Not because it's easy, because sometimes it's not what? It's not easy. Sometimes it's crazy and hard and you're trying to find your way. So listen, how do we become peacemakers? Somebody asked me, how do we become a peacemaker? Come on, that's a good question. I'm glad you guys asked it. That is, it's a really good question. How do I become a peacemaker? Now, how many of you guys remember when you were a kid, they told you if you ever catch on fire, by the way, anybody ever caught on fire? And they'd say what? Stop, drop. Okay, so watch. Stop, drop, and roll. You ready? A three-step way to be a peacemaker. Stop, just stop. Just stop. Stop, ask for patience, ask for peace. Don't react. Listen, respond, don't react, just listen, stop. I say this all the time, you're given two ears and one mouth because you should listen twice as much as you speak. Just stop. And you will avoid so many contentious arguments that sometimes cause hours and days of pain and frustration if you just what? Stop. Now, after you stop, listen, you got to drop. You got to drop your right to be right. Drop your right to be right. Just stop and drop your right to be right. Everybody wants to be what? Right. Just stop and drop your right to be right. And now listen to me. Just roll with it. Just roll. Sometimes it's not about you. Somebody say amen. Sometimes it's just not about you. Sometimes being a peacemaker means you just got to be patient enough to stop. You got to be patient enough and humble enough to drop your ideas and your rights to something. And sometimes you just got to let it play out. You just got to roll with it. You know, I got to be honest with you. In this last season, I find myself just rolling with things. People are like, you going to do anything about that? Maybe. I don't know yet. I'm just rolling with it. I'm watching. Listen, let me say it this way. I'm giving God a little bit of space. Listen, for you control freaks, I love y'all. You are not in control. Trying harder does not make you more in control. And the people who you're controlling don't what? Like it. They don't. How do I know that? Because I'm a control freak. Good Lord, I can preach to something that I struggle with. All of us have to grow in this. Don't control everything. Stop. Drop your rights and roll with it. Give God some space to move in this thing. If you want to be a peacemaker, you've got to learn how to be a little bit less self-focused and a little bit more outwardly focused. You got to think like this, like God's in the middle of this thing somewhere, and I don't know if I can see him yet, but he's in it. Because he's everywhere all the time. Someone say amen, because that's actually really good news. Like the way that gives me an exhale. Like when I think, man, God is in the middle of it, this is what I do. Whew, I don't have to figure it all out. I just have to be astute enough, paying enough attention when God says, there's the way, walk in it, that I can go, let's go. But sometimes I do this. That seems like the way, let's go over there. And God goes, well, I told you go left. But that seems like the way, God. And he goes, I told you go left. You can go left. Sometimes you just got to stop. Listen, I hope some of you are listening, because some of you are in the middle of some decisions. Some of you are in the middle of some things that you need to be a little more patient in. Some of you guys got teenagers. Hello? Man, I want to put them all in a headlock. Like, no, actually, I got great kids. But I'm just being serious. It's a challenge if you don't just stop a little bit sometimes. And this is what I've learned. If I start the day by praying, I'm a little bit more patient. If I start the day by putting God first, I'm a little bit more God-centered when the situations are happening. Not perfect, but I'm more aware. Can somebody recognize that? Say amen. Because that is what we're called to do. See, the world needs us to be people who are at peace, not only with each other within our families, but also with them. They need us to be people who are stable, people who are settled. Oh, man. I told myself I wouldn't get mad. I'm not mad. Just listen. No, sometimes it's hard because I see this thing that happens all over the church, and I just think, oh, I hope they get this, Jesus. And I hope I get it, too, because I don't do this stuff like it all perfect. You always preach beyond where you live. You get what I'm saying? But just that sense of God is in this, and he's in control. And if he's with me, listen, I will be okay, and so will everyone else. That is so important, and the world needs to see us be people, listen, who are governed by the power of God, not by our ability to control things. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying, because the power of God shifts things in the right direction. Our control never does. Never does. Usually makes a bigger mess. But I just want to encourage y'all that God is with you, and the power of Jesus is there and ready to minister to you. And then he goes on in verse 10, and he says this, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this means to make, to run, or to flee, or to put to flight, to drive away. You know, the word is interesting because it can be a negative word. It can also be a positive word. So it can mean to drive towards something with passion, or to chase somebody, like to try to get them or kill them, like to persecute them. So as I think about this, most of us don't like the idea of being attacked or persecuted. Listen, and most of us don't like the idea of being looked at as narrow-minded or critical or judgmental. I mean, I know I don't like it when people say that I'm judgmental. How about you guys? Or you Christians are all judgmental. How many of you guys get this? You guys look asleep. Hello, come on, talk to me. How many of you guys get that? You Christians are all judgmental. You're always throwing down, and you know, I get this all the time. I get it through Facebook messages, I get it through text messages, I get phone calls, people send me emails, and they're always asking me this kind of like, like question about how do I do this thing with all the pressures of our culture. See, listen, first get this. The reason for persecution has to be this: for righteousness' sake. In other words, the reason that you're getting attacked is because you're doing something that's godly. You know, when we step up and go, man, I'm being persecuted, but you ain't living for Jesus, you ain't being persecuted. You're reaping and sowing. That's different. That means you're doing something dumb, the devil's on your tail. Somebody say amen. That's what that means. I'm talking about when you're doing something for Jesus and people are going, oh, you Christians are all, that's what I'm talking about. When you're letting your light shine and people are rejecting the light that you're allowing to shine, that's what I'm talking about. See, righteousness is this. It's a state of approval by God. Here's the characteristics of righteousness. Integrity. Listen, this is doing what's right when no one is watching. I see all you guys come to church, you put on your clothes, you look all pretty and nice, and then you walk out and I'm like, oh dang, I see your Facebook posts. I'm just saying. Sometimes I look and I go, whoa, man, they need a little Jesus in their situation right now. I do think that. I do, and I pray, for the record. I see some of the posts and I think, ooh, they need prayer, because that's crazy. Sometimes I see people post stuff and I'm thinking, that should not be out there, social media. That ain't social. It ain't even nice. See, listen, we've got to understand this, that our lives are called to be lived in front of people in a way that they can see Jesus. And when we go off the deep end, and then we call it persecution, it's just an absolute, like, misrepresentation of the gospel. But the characteristics are integrity. Do you do what's right because it's right? It honors God. It's virtue. It's having a wholeness of character. It's purity of life. It's living in a way that your life is not polluted or diluted because of the manner in which you live. You're not doing things that ruin your witness for Jesus or put him in the weak light. Let me say it this way. I feel like I'm preaching at you in a way that doesn't make sense. It's not doing this with Jesus. Your power is not strong enough to set me free from drug and alcohols. Your power is not strong enough to stop me from being immoral and living with my boyfriend. Your power is not strong enough to set me free from drug and alcohol. Your power, that's what you're saying. Your power is not strong enough. When we live in a way, when we knowingly step aside from the power of the gospel, this is what we say. I'm a Christian, but he ain't powerful. And I think that's the worst thing you could ever represent about God. Those whom the Son set free are what? Free indeed. I'm not talking about the struggle of life. I'm talking about the giving over to sin. Because every single one of us sins on a daily basis, and we battle to walk righteously with God. I'm talking about when we throw up our hands and go, this is what I want to do. That's what I'm talking about. He says, you're going to be persecuted if you live above reproach. There should be virtue and integrity and depth, purity of life and rightness, correctness, listen, of thinking, feeling, and acting. The way you think will determine the way you feel. The way you feel will determine how you act. That's what I said, man. Sometimes I've had arguments in my head. Talk to me, church. You ever had an argument in your head? You set up the whole scenario. Like, you're going in, guns loaded, like, yeah, I'm going to get them. And by God's grace, they don't show. You know what I'm saying? we just go nuts sometimes. We really do. And God says, listen, I need you to be in control of the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you act. I'm trying to transform you. I'm trying to demonstrate my power to override the sin nature that rumbles in every single one of us. Am I talking to anybody right now? The battle is real, amen? The battle is tough. But God says you can overcome if you're willing to choose to overcome. This is what I see in the church. We don't choose that. I don't choose that. There's times I look and I go, oh, that was just dumb. That was just dumb. Anybody ever had a dumb moment? That's what I'm talking about. God is saying, listen, you will be persecuted if you live for me wholeheartedly. But it comes because you're living for righteousness and you're thinking, you're acting, you're feeling right. See, righteousness is all about this. It's living a lifestyle that is surrendered to God in every area, not just the ones seen, also the ones that are not seen. Because I think there's a day coming where we all stand before him and he sees what? Everything. There's nothing that goes unseen to God. Like, sometimes that scares me. Like, I wonder, like, will we get to heaven and it'll be like a YouTube channel of all the dumb things we've done? You're like, oh, that was his fault. God's like, really? Okay, never mind. You know what? Is it going to be like, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's how it's going to be, but I think that you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. That's what I think. I think God honestly judges righteously. And this is what's important. He judges righteously because he loves you and he wants you to walk with the power and freedom that he died on the cross to give you. See, and so often we choose in a way that doesn't represent that. So I've had, like I said, I get lots of questions. People email me, they text me, they call me, they send me like, how do you do this? Like, tell me if this isn't a pressure that all of you feel. You're battling in the realm of this, that in our culture today, if you're a Christian, you're expected to accept everything. Am I talking to anybody? You're called to accept every moral deviance that's out there, from adultery to homosexuality to immorality. Doesn't matter what it is, you should accept me because Jesus was loving and Jesus would accept me. By the way, the Bible doesn't teach that. I'm going to show you that in a second. Jesus does love everybody, but he does not just accept them for as they sit. And we have these pressures as Christians. Like, I had somebody send me a message this week and they said, how do you do the whole immigration thing? Like, what does the Bible say about it? And I'm like, wow, that's, you know, obey the laws of the land and then care for the alien. Like, the Bible has both in it. What do you do with that? These are real. What about the right to life? Come on, New York is aborting babies in utero. Help me, church. Help me. This isn't sad. This is grotesque. This is murder, and we're calling it the right of choice. And you know what's crazy? This is what's crazy. The Christian community is polarized over this issue. You've got people who profess to love Jesus who think that's okay. I'm like bewildered by it. And I sit back and I go, these are things we face, these pressures all of the time. You know, listen, there's churches out there. Listen to me, and I hope you catch this. It is so important that we don't lose our hearts in the middle of all of this stuff. You have to honor God first. You can never compromise the scriptures or the truth of what God asked us to walk in and think somehow we'll be okay. So when I sit and I talk to people, I talked with a guy who's in the middle of getting a double master's to go on and do ministry, and he said this to me, I think I can break bread and have communion with a homosexual brother who's aspiring to be a pastor. And I'm like, how do those things go together? How can you have communion with a guy who's outrightly living immorally? And he goes, because I think the scriptures give room for that. I said, show me the scriptures that give room for that. He couldn't do it. But I could show him the scriptures that said that some die and are sick among you because you misuse the table of God. And I wasn't trying to argue with him. I was just trying to say, dude, you're going to be a leader. You've got to toe the line of truth. See, this is what I've noticed. Listen, this is for all of us in the room. This is so important. We are so worried about offending people that we know and love that are family members that we will offend God more than we will them. Man, I told you I was coming this morning. Listen, we'll decide that it's okay to embrace somebody living a completely immoral life. Listen, not in the name of evangelizing them or living a witness of God. We will say it's okay because they're family members and I love them. I never said stop loving them, but you should never approve of sin in someone's life. When the church decides to promote sin into leadership, adultery, homosexuality, listen, if you want to start throwing stones, listen, hold up the mirror, because it also lists gossip and liars and slanders, and that's all of us in the room. Help me. It's this: are we living for God? That's what it comes down to. Are we living to honor his name? Are we living and pursuing righteousness? Because I hear people say, man, I get persecuted. You ain't getting persecuted. Ain't no one killing you for the name of Jesus. Help me. Some of you need to travel the world and see what's really out there. You're not even getting scratched in the name of Jesus. Oh, they look down at me at work because I bring my Bible. Bring two of them then. Holy cow. Put your screensaver. I love Jesus. Do something that preaches. I'm not saying be dumb. I'm saying this, that we think we're being persecuted when we're not. But when the church decides that we're going to promote sin into leadership, we've lost our way. Likewise, when we've decided that a homosexual or an adulterer or a liar or a gossip isn't welcome in this building, we've equally lost our way. Listen, the church is designed to help people discover Jesus. It's designed for that. But it's also this, it's never designed to let people stay in sin. And some of you go, okay, so how do I do this, Pastor? Watch, you do it like Jesus did. How many of you guys remember in John 8, there was a woman brought to Jesus in adultery? Guys, remember this? She's brought in, she's, by the way, the context, if you study this out, she is naked. She's not covered. It says they caught her in the very what? Act. It was actually happening. By the way, where's the dude? I'm just saying. Like, why wasn't he getting stoned too? And they bring her to Jesus. They toss her in front. Say, I mean, you've seen all the dramatizations on YouTube and whatnot. And she's there and she's naked. And they're saying, what do you do with her? And Jesus bends down. He starts writing in the dirt. Now, the Bible doesn't say what he's writing. I think he was writing their sins. That's my opinion. Just an opinion. You can take it for what it's worth. But he's doing something because it says this, that none of them said another word, and they all dropped their stones and left from the least to the greatest. Every single one of them didn't do anything. Now watch what Jesus says. This is the message of the gospel in its entirety. Woman, where are your accusers? They're gone. Neither do I condemn you. Watch. Go and sin no more. That's the message of the gospel. When we as a church say, come on in, stay in sin, live like a knucklehead, or we'll promote you into places of leadership, and we won't ever call you to account for living in a way that is scriptural, we've lost our way. That is the American church today. And it saddens me and it breaks my heart, and I think this, we have such an opportunity, listen, to demonstrate the power of God to set sinners free. Somebody help me, because that's what the gospel's about. See, because I look at my own life. You take a mirror in your own life right now. Take a mental picture. I know who I was before he rescued me. I know the drug addict. I know the drinker. I know the guy who was trying to find purpose in life. I know the guy who could not find his way. Like, we were in the car yesterday, and my kids were teasing. They said, sometimes we daydream. And I said, I don't remember ever being discontent with, like, anything or daydreaming with school. And then I had this thought in my head, because I was high most of the time. And I didn't say that to them because I didn't want to really tell them I was high most of the time. But I thought this, I probably coped with so much of my pain as a teenager by just getting drunk and smoking weed all the time. So much of my life was lived medicated until, watch, I discovered Jesus and his love for me, watch, and his power to set me free. This is the point that I'm trying to make. He set me free in a prayer. One moment, one prayer. One, God, will you deliver me from this thing? I repent that I'm a sinner. I remember walking in my room. I know I've told this, but it is my testimony. I love my testimony. You know why? Because I went from doing all the crazy stuff to not doing it in one prayer. Say it can happen in one prayer to somebody. Tell them it can happen in one prayer. See, that's the power of the gospel. And that is what we've lost sight of. We want to try to be nice with everybody. We want to try to be accepting with everybody. Listen, if you're a sinner, come in the door. I love you and I will serve you and help you discover Jesus. But I will also say this, now go out there and sin no more. Because that's what Jesus said. And everybody's asked me, how do you navigate all these problems? Simple. What does the Bible say about it? Now go and sin no more. I can embrace you and I can love you and I can serve the homeless with you and I can encounter your life for right where you're at. But when it's all said and done, if you tell me you're shacking up, I'm going to say get married. If you tell me I'm a homosexual, I'm going to tell you you should stop that. If you tell me I'm an alcoholic, I'm going to say get help. If you tell me you're a drug addict, I'm going to say get help. Let the power of God demonstrate in your life his ability to free and save those to the uttermost. That's the gospel. And this is what I've watched, church, and this is what breaks my heart. We go through life just kind of cool with Jesus, but not living in his power. And I want us to be a church that lives in his power. I want to be a church that actually understands that when persecution comes, it's because we're living for him wholeheartedly. Not because it's a foot in and a foot out, but it's because I'm devoted. And listen, some of you are in the room and you're thinking this, man, I hope I'm doing okay. If you're thinking that, you're probably doing okay. That's the truth. Like, I remember this. Tell me if this is any of your journey, because some of you are like, man, I feel terrible because I'm never going to be all Jesus-y like pastor. Don't worry. Talk to my wife. I'm not that Jesus-y. Okay? I'm not. This is what all of you are thinking. I never get there. You don't have to get there tomorrow. You just have to get there a step at a time, a decision at a time, a willing heart in each decision that you have to make at a time. Not one of us sitting in the room is perfect. Hello? Somebody say amen. Ain't none of us perfect but Jesus. But when we make a decision day by day, moment by moment, to walk in the fullness of Christ, that is when we discover his power. That is when we walk in freedom. That is when you're faced with the which way to go, and God will say, go left, and you'll go, okay. left it is. But God, right looks better. And he said, no, right will destroy it. Go left. Go left. That's what I need you. I need you to go left. And when you do that, he'll honor you and he'll reward you. See, the power of God is great, but it ain't easy. Help me out. Walking with Jesus ain't easy. If you think walking with Jesus is easy, somebody lied to you. That's what I'm saying. He loves you. You're going to get to heaven and all, but it ain't what? It ain't easy. So listen, I want to invite Kevin and the ministry team up, and I want to give some of you an opportunity to get some prayer. See, listen, it is this, that if you think you are being persecuted and you're living righteously, way to go. Because God says the fullness of the kingdom is available to you if you're living like that. But if you think you're being righteousness and you're not honoring him with your life, you're probably just sowing your own mistakes. You're probably getting beat up because you made some bad choices. And the truth is this, God wants to demonstrate his power in our life. Listen, somebody say this with me. God wants to demonstrate his power in me. He wants to set me free. He wants me to walk in freedom. He wants me to have wisdom. He wants me to be full of grace. He wants me to receive grace. Man, God is amazing, isn't he? Like when you just kind of measure it all down, you take out all the fluff and he's just like, just live for me. Just love me. Do it a decision at a time. I don't need perfection from you. I need a willing heart. That's all he's looking for. So listen, I'm going to ask Kevin to do a song. I want you guys to bow your heads and just listen for a few minutes. I want to speak some things out. And if any of these touch your heart, if any of these things measure out to you, something that resonates with you, something that you think to yourself, man, I should probably go get prayer for this. If it doesn't, no problem. If you're cool with Jesus, no problem. But I do think that all of us in the room have points where we come face to face with truth that is difficult, and we have to make a decision to honor God and to walk with God. So first question is this, just as you're wrestling things out, is Jesus powerful enough to save? Is he powerful enough to set you free, to rescue your family members, to minister life where there's death? Man, he's calling us to call people into freedom. And when we don't do that, we diminish the power of God and his opportunity to set them free. Sometimes we are as much Jesus as anybody is ever going to see. See, listen, in a room like this right now, some of you are living in sin and you know it. You know it. It's not like, I think I might be sinning. You're like, I am choosing to sin and I know it. And as you're sitting here, the Holy Spirit is poking at you and he's saying, I want you to give that thing to me. I want you to give me the alcohol. I want you to give me the sex. I want you to give me the lying. I want you to give me the deceiving. I want you to give me the gossip and the manipulating. I want you to bow your heart before me and honor. That's what he does. And he draws and he says, come and experience my power. And we're faced with the choice. Some of you are in that spot right now. And listen, this preacher right here is calling you out of darkness and into his freedom. And that freedom comes when you repent. And that freedom comes when you allow somebody to pray into you a blessing and a release of his possibility. Some of you right now in this room, you're living in fear. You're gripped by fear. Everything overruns you and overwhelms you. Like trusting God is so far removed from your current circumstances. You're saved, but you don't live in any of the freedom or the power of what Jesus went to the cross for. It's always anxious. It's always, where is it going to come from? Will it work out? I'm afraid to do anything. For some of you, it's within your families, and you're afraid to be truthful or honest. You're afraid to declare the gospel. You're afraid to say, listen, the way you're living is wrong, and Jesus has a way, because you're worried about getting rejected. And Jesus said, if you'll profess me before men, I'll profess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And that's the real of it. That like gets to the bare bones of it, that he calls us to live a witness and an example in our everyday lives. Some of you are right there right now. You need this. You need courage to get over that. You need courage to stand up and say to people, go and sin no more. And courage is crazy. Courage doesn't mean it's all going to be easy. Courage means I want what God has because I don't have it in me to do it. See, some of you in the room this morning, you're weak underneath the pressure of life. And that doesn't make you weak. It just means that life is beating up on you. I've had lots of seasons where life is beating up on me. I feel like I'm coming out of a season where life is beating up on me. And for the first time in a while, I have a sense of refreshing and bearing with God, a sense that He's for me and not against me. And never did I think He was against me, just a sense of refreshing. Some of you in the room, that's exactly where you are. It's not that you don't want to live for Him. It's not that you don't want to honor Him. You just need a fresh release of God in your life. You need a fresh sense of His presence in your life. You need a fresh gift, fresh anointing from Him. Man, in a room like that, that should be every single one of us. Like, I need more of what God has for me. So listen, I want to ask all of you to stand. And we're going to sing a song. I don't want you to leave. Please do not head for the door. I want to be really clear that moments like these are holy moments. And sometimes distractions and door open means that people miss the opportunity to listen to God. Remember, I said part of being somebody who lives in peace is that you got to stop. Sometimes it's just for 30 seconds to listen to what God might be saying to you. So don't head to the door. Just give this a minute or two. One song. If you're struggling with sin, if you're struggling in need of courage, if you're needing refreshing, you need a fresh release of God in your life. As we start to worship, I want to ask you to get out of your seats and come forward for prayer. Listen, if you've never bowed your heart to Jesus and fully surrendered to Him, now's the time. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation for each and every one of us. Not only are we saved from death to life, but we're also saved from this life to better life. Somebody say amen, because that is what it's about. So as we worship, please don't hesitate. It's going to be one song, one song. I want to ask you to come forward and let them pray with you and believe for you. Let's go ahead and worship together.
Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing new life again. You cause your Son to shine on darkest nights. For all that You've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love You. Oh, how we love You. You are the now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in You. And You lift our weary head, and You make us strong. Instead, You took these rags and You made us beautiful. For all that You've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love You. And oh, how we love You. 'Cause You are the one. Hearts at all. And Jesus, we love You. Oh, how we love You. 'Cause You are the one our hearts at all. Our hearts at all. Our devotion poured poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one, Lord, our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. How we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one, Lord, our hearts adore. Our hearts adore. Our hearts adore you. Our hearts adore.
Listen, the ministry team is going to stay up here and make themselves available. If you want to sneak up and get prayer, I really want to encourage you to do that before you head out today. But I just want to pray a blessing over you as you go. But I really want to encourage you, if it's touching your heart and you're in that moment of stubbornness where you're like, I don't want to go up there, listen, the smartest thing you can ever do is get up here. I can tell you from experience. So let me pray for y'all. God, I want to just pray an understanding of what it means to walk deeply with you, and help us to grow. God, I pray for a fullness in our lives, that when we go out, that we would in fact be salt and light to those that were around, that we would demonstrate the gospel and the power of Jesus to save, not only in our own lives, but in those that were around and those that we encounter. So God, I pray that we would go blessed with fullness, blessed with an understanding that you love us passionately and that you move through our lives to move into other people's lives. And God, we're grateful for that. As we go, we pray that we would go filled with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, if you're here and you still need prayer, sneak on up. Otherwise, God bless you all. Have a great, great Sunday.
Put out on the feet of Jesus our affection, our devotion. Put out on the feet of Jesus our affection, our devotion. Pour out on the feet of Jesus our affection, our devotion. Pour out on the feet of Jesus our affection, our devotion. Pour out on the feet of Jesus our affection, our devotion. Pour on the feet of Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. 'Cause you are the one, Lord, our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. How we love you. Oh, how we love you. 'Cause you are the one, Lord, our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love. The one, Lord, our heart. gates adore. Jesus, we love you. How we love you. Oh, how we love you. 'Cause you are the one our hearts adore.